that was a Yankee year, and Maris I think was the MVP that year. Remember what else happened?
Well, I thought the Yankees had maybe one of the greatest ball clubs that I ever saw in the early 60s. 60 and 61 certainly were great. Early 60s were great years for the Yankees. And mm-hmm.
Can you take us through those teams?
Well, of course, with Yogi catching and Scour and Bobby Richardson and Kubek at shortstop, and then mm-hmm. At third base, Boyer came along, mm-hmm. and in the outfield, Mickey in center. I don't think there was a player that I ever saw that had more physical ability than Mickey Mantle. He could hit the ball harder and farther than any player I ever saw, and could run faster than anybody I ever saw early on in his career. Mm-hmm. And he's the only player I ever saw that bunted with two strikes, that hit for power anyway, mm-hmm. and beat it out most of the time. We were hoping he'd bunt every time he came up there, but he didn't do that.
Was there any one game or anything that stands out about Mickey?
I remember opening day in 1956, Mickey hit two home runs over the center field fence into that tree that I was telling you about mm-hmm. earlier. I think he hit one right-handed and one left-handed up in there. And I was amazed at the kind of power that he had. Mm-hmm. I was playing second base the day that he hit the facade off the right, facing a Yankee Stadium that was about 3 feet from going out of the ballpark. And I'll never forget that one. That was a tremendous shot.
Yeah, I still have the picture of that. Mm-hmm. And what about some of the other, what about Maris? What was he like?
Roger Maris, I thought, was a very underrated ball player. He did everything very, very well. He was a fine defensive outfielder, an excellent base runner, good arm. Roger probably is his own worst enemy with the press. But mm-hmm. He was certainly made to play in Yankee Stadium with that short right field fence. That was a great park for him. But I thought for the single thing that he did by hitting 61 home runs, he should have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I agree. And 60 was, that was his first big year with the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He had come over, I think, in 58 or 59 from Kansas City, which seemed to be a normal route in baseball, go from Kansas City to the Yankees.
In those days, the Yankees got a lot of the players mm-hmm. from Kansas City. Cletus Boyer came from Kansas City up and became a great third baseman mm-hmm. in New York.
Mm-hmm. What about facing Whitey Ford?
Whitey Ford, I thought, was if I had to win one ball game, I'd like Whitey Ford to pitch it for me. I think Whitey Ford was one of the greatest pitchers I ever saw. He was a great competitor. And to me, the last 2 years I faced him, he was even tougher than he was early on in my career. He changed his style of pitching. When I first saw him, it was good hard fastball and a lot of curveballs at different speeds. Then the last couple of years he threw sinkers and sliders, and for a right-hand hitter, he was really, really tough.
Occasional spinner.
Well, I didn't want to say that.
and I remember Howard used to take it on his shin guard and cut the ball every now and again.
Or put mud in the seams.
All right. Okay. What about some other teams in 1960? I think the Tigers were getting pretty good back then.
Tigers were becoming a pretty good ball club. Baltimore mm-hmm. was destined to become a really great ball mm-hmm. club. Cleveland still was not doing too well in those days, although they still had some pretty good pitching mm-hmm. On that club.
White Sox pretty much were 59.
Red Sox had a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Williams?
In 1959, of course, the White Sox won the pennant and played in the World Series against the Dodgers. And I remember in 1959, we got beat 2-1. And Comiskey Park by two guys that you wouldn't suspect would hit home runs. Billy Goodman and Nellie Fox hit home runs to beat us 2-1 or mm-hmm. 2-1 in that ball game.
I'm sorry, we had to change tape again.
Again.
We're rolling, and anytime.
Okay. Yankee Stadium, as you were just talking, how could you describe that again?
Yankee Stadium was, to me, was like a museum almost because of the great tradition that the Yankees had, the great players that played in Yankee Stadium from Ruth right on down. And in those days, of course, when I played, they had the monuments were inside of the fences. And they had a speaker in center field that made it interesting. But left field and center field were like Death Valley out there, the longest center field and left field in organized baseball, I guess. And very difficult for a right-hand hitter unless you hit the ball to right field. Moose Gowan learned to hit the ball to right field pretty well in those days, as I recall. But it was a lot of fun to play in Yankee Stadium, although difficult because the Yankees had such great ball clubs to play against. But our club, surprisingly, played quite well against the Yankees.
Okay, so we're out of 1960, and you're going to spring training, and now you're the Minnesota Twins.
Well, we didn't really know what to think about going to Minnesota. We opened on the road that particular year in Yankee Stadium against the Yankees. Then we went home to Minnesota to snow. They had to actually shovel snow off the field to play the first game in the Metropolitan Stadium in Bloomington. And I had pulled a muscle before we got back to Minnesota, so I did not play in the first game that was played in Minnesota. It took me a while to get back in the lineup, but I thought, boy, if this is the way it's going to be in Minnesota, I don't know why they moved the club here. Right. But we got through that season.
What was the ballpark like there?
It was a park that they built for the Minneapolis Millers. And I think a park was built in 1956. And then they expanded it, put in more seating through the years. And it became a ballpark that not only players like to play in, but the fans love the park. And it seemed like it was kind of good for everybody. The wind in that ballpark was a factor, both in the spring and the fall. I remember the wind blowing in the spring and the fall, and in the middle of summer the ball carried better throughout. So I liked playing in the parks, and it was a good park for me to
What were the fans like?
The fans were absolutely wonderful. As cold as the weather was, the fans' hearts were warm, and I just grew to love the years that I played in Minnesota. I grew up in Minnesota. I was 23, I believe, when we moved to Minnesota, and I played parts of 7 years in Washington and 14 years in Minnesota, and those were 14 of the greatest years I've ever had in my life, and I loved playing there, and we did become a good ball club. We won a pennant and played in the World Series, and we finished high up in the standings several years, and was great playing there.
Now 61, the first year there, how did your season go?
I had a good year in 1961. I forgot how many home runs I hit, but I
46.
Think I hit 46 home runs that year, and I believe that led the league in home runs. So it was a good year for me, and a good year for the Twins.
Now they made a managerial switch in that year.
They did. Cookie Lavagetto was sent on a fishing trip, I believe. And they brought in Sam Ely to take over with the ball club.
Now, where did Sam come from?
Sam was a former player, had played with the Worsen Club a little bit. But I actually had played with Sam in the minor leagues at Indianapolis when I was sent down there for a month. But he was a wonderful guy. I think that he developed into a very fine manager.
Mm-hmm. Now, 61 was Roger Maris's year. Can you describe that a little bit?
Well, that was an interesting year. To me, I thought the feat of Mantle hitting 54 home runs may have been better than Roger hitting 61. Mm-hmm. Because Mickey hit behind Roger, right. And he did, you know, hitting 54 home runs, and he wasn't in the best of health at that time, mm-hmm. with his legs. It was tremendous to me. But after that season, I ended up with 46, and Jim Gentile also had 46. We tied for third place, mm-hmm. that year. We went on a home run hitting tour with Roger down through North Carolina, which was an interesting thing. And
how did that, who put that together?
I'm not sure who put that together, but they didn't want to talk to Gentile or I, they wanted to talk to Roger, of right. course, about hitting the 61 home runs. And I remember Roger saying he wished that he'd brought his clippings with him, that they'd written everything in the New York papers that they could write about him. But
So he didn't want to talk a whole lot?
He didn't really want to talk much about that.
Okay. Was he was a quiet man?
A very quiet guy. I grew up, of course, in Fargo, North Dakota. And, right. I think Yankee Stadium and playing in New York was a tough thing for Roger to do.
Mm-hmm. Did, his hair literally fell out?
It did. It came out in patches that year. Mm. And He got through it though, and broke that record, which was tremendous. And a lot of people were pulling for him not to break the record. So they wouldn't have said as much about it if Mickey would have done it.
Why do you think that was so?
Because Mickey grew up in a Yankee organization, mm-hmm. was always a Yankee. Roger came in from outside the organization. I think that was a big
another
thing.
Kansas City,
yeah.
Okay. The rest of your season, the All-Star game that year?
1961, we played two All-Star games, mm-hmm. I believe. One was in San Francisco. I hit a pinch hit home run in that All-Star game in San Francisco. It was the first hit of the American League in that game. Actually, I think it was, I forget what inning, it was about the fifth inning maybe before we got a base hit, and mm-hmm. that was it. I had a home run off Mike McCormick, mm-hmm. The Giants. That was a game that Stu Miller pitched in, took a stretch on the mound, and wind came up and blew him off the mound. Then we had the game in Fenway Park that was ended in a tie because of a rainout.
Mm-hmm. But can you talk a little bit about the rivalry between the American League and the National League at that time?
There was a big rivalry. And we were very proud of our leagues, American League and the National League. We tried to win those games, and we were very proud to be selected to play in the All-Star game. And I think later on it got so that some of the players would like to have had the days off rather than go to the All-Star game. But mm-hmm. I was always very, very happy to go, and even though I got a very serious injury in one All-Star mm-hmm. game. It was a great honor for me to be selected to play in the game.
Okay. I have a quote here in 61 that people used to come to batting practice to watch you guys hit home runs in Minnesota. Do you remember that?
I remember in Fenway Park, we used to get standing ovations for batting practice.
Hmm. Little pre-Mark McGuire.
So. I think so. We used to hit all the balls out of the park and then go in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Now that was the your 46 was the club record at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We go into the next year. That was Sam's coaching and can you describe a little bit about that?
63.
Mm-hmm.
Or 62, was 63? 63?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what happened in 63. Do you?
Well,
you do.
I used to have notes here, but someone got them out of order, so we're going to have to wing it a little bit.
63
was the Yankees won the pennant that year.
Oh, really?
And played the Dodgers. You can tell I'm a Yankee fan. And just give you 1 second here. 63, 45 home runs, 95 RBIs, Jim Hall. Bobby Allison, Earl Batty, Don Mincher.
Tony Oliva came to our club that year in 1962 and led the league in hitting as a rookie.
Mm-hmm. What was he like?
Tony was absolutely fabulous. Just a wonderful young player. You could see right away that he was going to be a great hitter. He was one of the finest hitters I've ever seen. And he was a Rod Crew type hitter with power.
Mm-hmm.
Hit the ball all over the ballpark. And the best off-speed hitter I've ever seen. You could throw him 99 fastballs and one changeup and he'd lose it. Mm-hmm. And he developed into a very good outfielder. He was pretty rough when he first came up to the major leagues. Couldn't speak any English. And I've kidded Tony over the years that after 40 years here, he still can't speak any English, but just an excellent hitter. You've never seen a finer hitter than Tony Oliva.
I love watching him.
Yeah.
He was tough on the Yankees.
Yeah, he was tough on a lot of ball clubs.
Right. The rest of that team, Jim Hall played?
Jimmy Hall did a great job in center field. Jimmy, until he got hit in the head in a game, looked like he was going to do very, very well, and that did something to him. Bob Allison, of course, was always a great outfielder and hard-nosed player.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of our ball club, we had
Camilo
Pascual, Jim Cott, Pedro Ramos. Of course, Earl Batty, I think, was one of the finest catchers that we ever had, and we didn't realize how good Earl was until he left our ball club, and mm-hmm. he was a great, great catcher.
Now, 63, your team finished 91-70. You finished in third place, so that seemed like that was the first real pennant race that team was in.
Well, there was a couple of players came along. I think that's when Rich Rollins and Bernie Allen came along, too.
Mm-hmm.
We had Tony Oliva the year before, and I think Rich and Bernie came along and they developed as fine players. Am I wrong about mm-hmm. that or am I right? I don't know. They came along there somewhere.
I think Tony was 64 actually. And you finished third in 63 in 1963. And then 64 you had another big year. 49 home runs.
In 1964, I led the league in home runs with 49. First mm-hmm. time I hit 49 home runs.
Right.
And that was a big year for me, yeah.
Okay, can you describe that year a little bit in terms of home runs and home run games? Is there anything that
stands
out? I really had
an opportunity to hit up in the 50s that year. And I think I put more pressure on myself than the pitchers put on me, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, I think 50 home runs was a kind of a magical number.
Right.
So I still had time to do it, but I didn't get the job done with that.
Okay. When do you remember when you hit your 49th?
No.
Okay. I think I read maybe that was the second time you hit 49 that you had hit one to center field in Fenway
Park.
Yeah,
that was in 69 mm-hmm. that I hit a ball into the center field bleachers in Fenway Park, and I was on my way to second, rounded second base, and the umpire at second base, who was Larry Barnett, said that ball hit the wall. So I held up at second, and I said, no, that ball went in the center field bleachers. He said, no, it hit the wall. And the next day I went out and talked to the center fielder, who was Reggie Smith,
mm-hmm.
and I said, Reggie, didn't that ball go in the bleachers? And he said, yes, it did. And so that year I did hit 50 home runs, but I only ended up with 49.
Got credit for 49. Okay, the 64 was, I'm looking, Mudcat Grant joined the team. What was he like?
Mudcat Grant was a pitcher that probably beat us more than anybody else in the American League when he faced us, and I think because he beat us so much, they traded for him. Mm-hmm. And when he came over, we weren't very good friends when he came over, to tell you the truth. And as it turned out, Mudcat Grant and I are the best of friends. We became very good friends. He, in 65, just went on to 20-game season for us, and then won two games in the World Series, and even hit a home run to help us win one of the games. And he's just been a great friend and a great great guy.
Why weren't you two good friends?
Facing him, you didn't become too good of friends with many of the pitchers in those days.
Right. You know. Okay, so 65 now is your first pennant. So what was that? It must be an incredible year.
It was an interesting year for me because August 2nd of that year, I completely dislocated my left elbow in a play at first base. We were playing the Orioles in Met Stadium, and Russ Snyder, the Orioles, bunted the ball down to the third baseline. Rich Rollins fielded the ball, threw the ball inside the line up towards home plate. I came off the bag at first to catch the ball, and then was hit my forearm by Russ Snyder, not intentionally, it just happened.
Right.
And completely dislocated that elbow around the ulnar nerve area, and it felt like it broke my arm off. And I wasn't sure at the time what, I was afraid to look at my arm, and they carried me off the field, and we had a doctor in those days on the club that was not an orthopedic doctor. He was just a general practitioner named Dr. Prophet. And he reduced my arm, put my arm back in place. And as it turned out, that was the best thing that ever happened to me because it wasn't broken, and the quicker he got it back into place, the better. But they took me to the hospital, x-rayed it, and there was no broken bones, but I was out for the rest of the season. And well, I guess I played the last 10 games at third base and played in the World Series at third base.
So how long were you out for?
I was out for the rest of the entire season except for the last 10 games, I think.
Okay, so probably about 50 games?
50, I don't know how many games that would have been, but it was a lot of games that I missed because of my arm. And so that year, Zoilo Rosales picked up the slack. He had a great year and became the MVP of the American League that year. Yeah.
What was it like to be injured while your team was charging into first place?
That was very disappointing to me because it looked like after all the years of not winning, we were finally going to win the pennant and play in the World Series, and I wasn't going to get a chance to play. So disappointing for me, but as it turned out, at least for me, it was great to be able to play at third base and then in the World Series at third.
So what was, let's go through the World Series a little bit. Now, you've played 10 games and you're back in the lineup. And the World Series opens where?
It opened in the American League City that year, which would have been Minnesota. And the first game of the World Series, Sandy Koufax was supposed to start. It was a Jewish holiday, and Sandy didn't start the game. Drysdale did. Mm-hmm. We beat Drysdale. And the next day, Koufax pitched. We beat Koufax. And we thought, gosh, we may have a chance to sweep the series here. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, we went to the West Coast for the next three games. They won three straight in Dodger Stadium. And we came back to Minnesota. We won the sixth game. And then with 2 days rest, I think I saw one of the greatest pitching performances I've ever seen. It was Koufax pitching, throwing mostly fastballs, and shut us out 2-0. That was really a great job that he did there. And I'll never forget that series because I got the last hit off Sandy in that series and was on first base when Bob Allison struck out, put two out, took his bat, hit the ground, broke his bat. And after the game, I said, Bob, if you'd have swung at the ball as hard as you swung at the ground, we might have won the series. But we didn't. Koufax did a great job.
What made Koufax so tough to hit?
I think not only did he have a great fastball and a wonderful curve, he had pinpoint control. And I always thought that maybe he was lucky. And we got John Roseboro in a trade from the Dodgers later on after that. And I said, Rosie, was Koufax really that good, or was he lucky? And he said, no, he was really that great.
How about facing Drysdale? I heard a lot.
Don Drysdale was one of the toughest right-hand pitchers that I've ever seen. He wasn't afraid to pitch inside.
Right.
And I got lucky in one of the games and hit a home run in the World Series off to Don. Two strikes and no balls, but he was tough.
And who else pitched on that team?
Claude Osteen, right, was the other starter, mm-hmm, on that ball club.
That was a team that did a lot of hit and run and Maury Wills singles,
They had a complete infield of switch hitters. Mm-hmm. Wes Parker at first base, Jim Lefevre at second, Maury Wills at short, and Jim Gilliam at third base, right, all switch hitters. Mm-hmm. Pretty unusual.
Yeah.
And they were a fine defensive ball club, good speed, and great pitching.
Okay, how about your team? Can you go position by position that year?
Well, that year, when I was out of the lineup, Don Mincher came in, did a tremendous job at first base. Jerry Kendall played second base most of the year and was one of the reasons that I thought we won the pennant that year. He got a lot of clutch hits and was a marvelous fielder at second. Zoilo Versalles at shortstop was outstanding, not only in the field but with his bat. Rich Rollins did a great job at third base. Earl Batty was a great catcher behind the plate. And in the outfield, we had Bob Allison, Jimmy Hall, and Tony Oliva, which was a pretty darn good outfield and a good hitting outfield. The pitching staff, we had Camilo Pascual, Jim Merritt, Jim Cott,